Well, it's the third Tuesday of the month, and 10 to 11 o'clock has become a fun hour here at Kello News Talk, 1320 1079. The hour belongs to Stacy at your pet stop. Stacy, are you here?
I am here. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And it's your petstopinc.com, correct?
Correct.
Easy way to do it. Now, you've brought along a guest today. No animals, but you've brought along Diane.
Yes, I'm super excited. We have Diane with the Dakota Dachshund Rescue. And I'd like to touch base with some people today about the importance of rescue. And there's no one better. And we sponsor them every month down at your pet stop. The third Saturday, usually from noon to two. So this is a rescue that's close to us and close to our heart. So we're super excited for her to get the word out about the rescue and how it works and, you know, why they're so valuable.
Diane, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Why is a rescue important?
Rescues are important because... for one thing, there are so many animals out there in need. The shelters can't take care of all of them. Some of the dachshunds especially, they're little dogs that think they're big dogs. But once they get into a shelter setting, they don't do well at all. So they'll start nipping or cowering. And, of course, the shelters can't take on the liability of adopting those dogs out. They'll call the rescues, whether it be a dachshund rescue or if they've got other breeds also. But... they will call me, have me come up and assess the dachshunds that aren't doing well in the shelter setting. And we usually take them, and as soon as you get them out the door, they're like, whoa, thank you so much. I'm no longer in this big, scary place with all these people walking by, sticking fingers in kennels and so on. And all the barking seems to really bother their ears. So we'll take them in, assess them, get them any medical needs that they need. Some of them aren't spay or neutered. Some of them need dentals. Any other surgeries that they might need. We get them healthy. We get them into a foster home and assess them for what type of home setting would be the most successful for the dog.
How many animals are we talking about in a year?
In a year right now, we adopt out right around 125. Dakota Dachshund Rescue came about in 2007. And since its inception, we have adopted out to date approximately 615 dachshunds. Some of them are dachshund wannabes. Every now and then we'll take in a mix. Some of them, if there's a Westie freezing to death outside in the wintertime and we can't find a Westie rescue to take it in, those are our little dachshund wannabes. We'll take in a dachshund here and there that's not really a dachshund, or the mixes that maybe the tail is dachshund and that's all there is to it. But we've had great success. As Stacy said, we do the third Saturday of each month from 12 to 2. We have probably right around 20 dachshunds for people to come down and meet. Those are our meet and greet days. And then we do it also other times during the month. Not a big meet and greet, but if we have people apply to adopt, then we let them get together with the foster family when it works for the foster family and meet the dogs and do adoptions that way too. But
there'll be a lot of people out there like me. Don't know where you're located.
How
do they know where to go?
Yep, we have a website. Other than that, we don't have a shelter. All the dogs are in foster homes within 70 to 75 miles of Sioux Falls. And we do that specifically for vetting issues. We have two wonderful vets that work with us from All City Pet Care. And that way, if the dog needs vetting, they do it at a rescue discount. And... it keeps the dogs close so that if we have families that want to come and meet them, we get them pre-approved to adopt. They have to fill out an adoption application online. And the questions, we do reference checks with their veterinarians, make sure that they're going to be good pet owners, as well as find out if they have that fenced-in yard, because some of the dogs are door dashers to get out. Others are door dashers to get in. They just want to go outside and potty and come right back in. Others are going to... if you let them out the door, they're going to run off. They're going to chase rabbits. They're going to chase people. They're going to chase other dogs. So we match the dogs up to the perfect home setting.
Stacy, valuable information with Diane. And she and Stacy will be taking your calls this hour. 336-1320, 336-1320. We'd like to be able to answer your questions, get you tied in with Dakota Dachshund, and maybe... help your own pets that aren't in a rescue situation. So when we start talking about your pet stop. What kind of questions have you had as we've gone through some 90-degree days? We've had some days that were a little wet. What would you say has been a typical type question you're getting from those that are in need?
Well, lately we've been getting a lot of people that are anxiously getting ready for hunting season. So we're getting
in
a lot
South Dakota, there's hunting?
I guess so. You know, they have questions of the dog's diet. You know, should it be changed? Should I feed more? Should I feed less? You know, questions about, you know, energy bars that would go along or high protein treats or snacks that can be fed, you know, possibly containers to transport that water if they're out for long periods of time in the field. So that's really been, you know, developing. We got a lot of new puppies coming in that we're meeting. So a lot of just questions on puppy maintenance and care. And then, you know, our biggest and foremost is always still food transitioning for folks that, you know, are kind of learning more about non-corn-based foods and are coming in wanting to know, you know, what are the pros and cons and what food would work for their animal best. So,
she's Stacy from your pet stop. Number for your pet stop?
221-2738.
And I do have the right number this time. I don't know how I turn those numbers around, but it's yourpetstopinc.com. You do have some deals of the month, and we know people wait on those. And you've got some ideas as to what people really need in late August.
Right. You know, this month we're featuring the From Foods, 10% off. From has really been a food that has taken off for us across the board. A lot of people like it. It's a little private company out of Wisconsin. They have a grain-free line and they have a gold line. So they do have a frequent buyer program with that, which I know a lot of our customers really appreciate the little kickback. We're having 10% off all our toys. For some reason, we have an abundance of them this month. We have $5 off Red Barn Bully Rings. So Bully Sticks are probably one of our most popular all-natural chews. These, instead of being a long stick, are just molded into a nice ring, and you get three of them. So it's actually a great bargain. 20% off our Charlie Bear Treats, which are pretty popular. And then we're still doing 25% off the world's best lavender-scented cat litter this month as well.
And that's the deals of the month at your pet stop, and you guys are located at?
We are at 501 East 41st Street.
Stacy, when we talk about pets, we've talked about the number of pets and new kids that are going to have a pet, whether they're going to school or whatever the situation might be. We've kind of discouraged people from doing pets at Easter.
Right.
When they are just kind of a joy with no responsibility with it. How about the kids that are getting pets this time of year as they head back to school?
Right. You know, you really got to keep in mind that, you know, these young puppies that require a lot of training, you know, a small puppy, obviously it's always best and it's safe for the puppy to be kenneled while you're gone at school and at work. So there's nothing for them to get into or ingest that they shouldn't. But also with a small puppy, you have to keep in mind that, you know, at some point they not necessarily can sit in a kennel 6 to 8 hours consecutively. So you have to be just patient and understand that there may be accidents, but it's important that, you know, they get up, they get on a routine, they get out there in the morning when you guys get up, they are fed and watered, exercised a little bit before kenneling. And important that when the kids get home from school, that one of them is responsible to get the dog out and again, exercise it and make sure that it has water. And just kind of, you know, get it onto a good routine that works for, you know, a busy life between jobs and in school.
Diane's also with us with Dakota Dachshund. Those just joining us, this is a third Saturday coming up, so share.
Actually, we just had our third Saturday.
So I can't count either?
No, you can't count either.
But you do have special times. You had mentioned
we do.
The third,
yep.
But then you have other times.
Yep. Like,
is this the time of year that you would schedule additional events?
Yes, it is. Tomorrow night, we'll be at the Canaries game for Bark in the Park. Dakota Dachshund and Rescue will have adaptable dogs.
Let's stop a second. Okay. We talked about the fact that they couldn't take noise a lot of times with the different places they're in, and now they're going to go to a ball game?
Yeah, they do quite well outside. It's mainly the noise in the shelter setting. You know, you have so many dogs up there, big dogs, little dogs, and all the barking and so on, and all the people. It's just a scary place, especially if they've been raised their whole lives in a home setting, and all of a sudden they end up in a shelter. It's just a horrible time for them. They're strong-willed German kids. And I think that's why I get along so well with them, as my ancestry is extremely German. So I'm kind of the bitch of the pack.
Uh-oh.
They know that I'm the mama dog and I will put everybody in check. But no, they have a ball. We bring out just crowd-friendly dogs. Not all of them will do well.
That's where I was going to go next.
Yep, exactly.
What is crowd-friendly?
They're the ones that will do well with the kids coming up and wanting to pet them. We have enough volunteers with us tomorrow night that we bring out the dogs that if children want to come over and pet them, a volunteer will have them out of the X pen and walking around and teach the kids to just pet underneath the chin, not on top of the head. If the dog's ever been abused, if you go to pet it on top of the head, it thinks it's going to get hit. So we teach the children and try to entice some of the families that if they're looking for a pet, maybe a dachshund from the rescue would be a good deal. The nice thing about getting rescue dogs as opposed to getting new puppies and so on, all of these dogs have been spay, neutered, up to date on shots, as I said before, dentals, any other surgeries they might need. We get to know the dogs. You're probably not going to get, it's not real often we get puppies under a year, but every now and then we'll get some. But right now I think our youngest is a year old. And he is just a doll baby. His name's Buster. And he is playful. He's neutered. He's house trained. We've got to know him well. So, you know, you're not starting over with a dog that you're just picking up and not knowing anything about. So, but the Canaries game will be awesome. And then in September for German Fest, that's a biggie for us. We've got the German Fest Wiener Dog Races coming September 6th. So we'll get that on our website, and that's another huge meet and greet day. We try to have almost every available dog, unless they don't do well in big crowds, of course, but we have almost all the Dakota Dachshund Rescue dogs that are up for adoption down there that day. And then the wiener dog races, of course, if people haven't come down to see us, we have bleachers. It's the biggest event of the year. It's the biggest crowd drawer for German Fest. And we race all ages. We do the juniors, the adults, and the seniors. And it's just a blast.
She's Diane from Dakota Dachshund. Stacy from Your Pet Stop. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about, okay, you got a German Fest, you got a ball game. What do you do to feed the pets during the game? Do they get a hot dog or what do they get? We'll ask that question as a part of Your Pet Stop.
Hey, welcome to Bark Out Loud Comedy Club.
Your Pet Stop. Our guest in studio this morning, 221-2738, or yourpetstopinc.com, and your location is?
501 East 41st Street.
And we do have Diane from Dakota Dachshund, and if people wanted to come by and look, where do they go?
We don't have a physical shelter, but we do have a website. It's, if you Google Dakota Dachshund Rescue, we're the first ones that will come up, or it's dakotadachshundrescue.org. Otherwise, we're out at Your Pet Stop the third Saturday of every month, as well as on our events calendar on the website. We also post all of our special events, such as the Canaries Bark in the Park tomorrow night, and September 6th is German Fest, and we'll be there all day.
336-1320 if you have questions on any of our topics this morning. All right, I asked the question during the break, and you laughed at me, and you didn't agree. And I think it's time for me to get right into this. You got a ball game tomorrow night with the, what's the event called?
Bark in the Park.
Bark in the Park, okay. Canaries are playing. Dogs get hungries at games, too, just like people do. So what can you feed the dog at the game, or do you take it along?
I usually feed all the dogs. prior to going to the game. And then what we do if we want to give the dogs treats, I highly recommend the Charlie Bear treats. They're 3 calories each. So if you've seen some of the dachshunds out there that are way overweight, it's usually because they've gotten people food and so on, or mom or dad just can't let it go when the dog goes, really, I'm still hungry, give me more food. So I really recommend the Charlie Bears. My dog's favorite ones are the cranberry and liver, I think it is what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the nice thing is they are 3-calorie treats instead of some of the treats that are filled with sugar. Some of the grocery store-bought brands and stuff, if you look, corn syrup is one of the main ingredients, and that's like giving them Twinkies, so...
All right, Stacey, you would have done what I did. I'd have given him a hot dog.
Yeah.
I sure would have. I would have brought my own barbecue and set it up. We would have had a great grill out.
But we had a little warning from Diane. If you do what Stacey and Bill had suggested,
you might need a big poop scoop.
Yeah. And hot dogs are really bad for dogs. Those nitrates just upset the GI tract, and you won't have just a nice formed file a poo to clean up. You might have nasty diarrhea from that. So, no, I highly recommend doing even if you do popcorn, they do the popcorn, the stuff that's specifically for dogs and stuff. But I definitely recommend the lower calorie treats.
I think what I saw was 86 degrees tomorrow, which makes it a warm night. What about liquids for them, drinks for the dogs?
We will have plenty of water for the dogs that are out there, and then we do set up in the shade. We're not right on the field. We're in the entryway where you first come in, so we're shaded by the stadium by the time the game starts.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'll get you back on the same page.
Okay.
And that is table scraps versus food that maybe would come from your pet stop.
Right.
For critters. Anytime?
Table scraps are a big no-no. You know, so many things can go wrong. You know, they have sensitivities. They have allergies to some things. You know, the table scraps are just going to basically cause a lot of stomach upset, could cause some issues with stool. It could even make your pet say, you know, hey, I'm not going to eat my dog food anymore. I'm going to eat what you eat. So then you get into the point where you have people coming in and, you know, hey, my dog won't eat any food, won't eat kibble, you know, we'll circulate through several different samples and try to get something going. And, you know, dogs can be pretty stubborn once they get the gist of that cheeseburger you're eating, slice of that.
Smells a lot better than the liver and cranberry.
You know, I'm sure it does, but... you know, as cute as they are, as much as you want to share with them, you just really have to give them their own snack.
Diets, Diane, are important for animals as well as people.
Very important. We take in a lot of dogs from puppy mills and breeders, ones that are in really bad shape. And it's amazing the difference in that dog's coat as well as well-being between the vetting that we do and then the high-quality foods that we do pay for at your pet stop. We could do the cheaper, more inexpensive, but in the long run, what you do is end up with higher vet bills. As Stacy said, you know, it's just what you put in is what you get out. If you feed a higher-quality food that doesn't have all the extra additives and so on, you have less poo to clean up, which is a big deal for foster homes because they probably already have dogs of their own as well as taking on a foster dog. And me, myself, I'd rather scoop less poo than feed them a less expensive food. But we've found that we have far less stomach upset with some of these dogs that we take in, that we have no idea what they've been eating, but it's pretty obvious that it's not been good for their health. So we, right off the bat, just feed them good food, and that really helps us out a big deal. And Doug and Stacy are a great source at your pet stop for if I go in and say I have a dog that I've taken in that's a diabetic and I can't get her to eat anything. And they've suggested different diets, and they've just been a great source of information for us so that we're not trying different high quality foods and going, gosh, what's going to work for this dog? They know their nutrition.
You actually test for diabetes with animals?
Yeah. Well, not normally you don't, but if a dog comes in and starts having issues, if they're spilling sugar in their urine and so on, we do a ton of testing on these animals, especially if they have different symptoms and we just can't get to the bottom of it. And we have had a couple of diabetic dogs. And the one little girl was in the ER twice before we finally figured out that we needed a different food. And Doug and Stacy were a huge help with that.
Stacy, I think that's the first time we've mentioned diabetic and dog in the same sentence in 2 years on this show.
Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more and more. People are discovering that their dogs have become diabetic, need to monitor those blood sugar levels. And usually with that, you know, we will suggest a diet that is a low glycemic. And it's usually going to be a grain-free, and it's also going to be a potato-free. Or it's going to go back into the limited ingredient diet where you have one protein, one starch, and one carb. And usually with that, we have a lot more benefits for that dog and that dog's health. So we do keep those options, and we do have a few on our shelf that would be a perfect diet for a dog that is diabetic or just needs that low glycemic diet.
She's Stacy from your Pet Stop,
221-2738.
Or yourpetstopinc.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about hunting. We're going to talk about traveling, food. We'll talk about the symptoms. That created some interest. Plus, we're going to have your five favorite things. Does that all work for you?
That works for me.
336-1320. If you have questions, you got the experts here. You might as well find out about your pets. Fox Business News on the half hour.
Hey.
Welcome back. It's your Pet Stop Hour, and we have Stacy with us, Diane from Lakota Dachshund. Let's talk a little bit about your favorite things. You always give us five. Some months you have four. Some months you have six. So how do you decide what you're going to have this month?
Right. Like, I'm looking at my list, and I think I have four again this month. Like, didn't I do four last month? We might have to switch this to four favorite things.
Yes.
We'll let Diane give a fifth.
There you perfect. Go. Well, my first thing, and you know how I always get picked on because I never have, you know, never do a lot with cats. So I thought this would impress you, Bill, that one of my new products are called Cat in Shape Scratch Pads. And they come with the organic catnip in them, which is, you know, always been pretty popular down at our store. And they're crazy shapes. Like, I have a race car, I have a sofa lounger, I have a wiener dog.
Oh, my goodness.
So, for people that have a cat and a house full of wiener dogs, like, this is perfect. So, I'm pretty excited about that, pretty excited about those. They have all kinds of shapes. I'm starting off small. My second one is a new product that we brought in, and it's made by our Kona Chip Dog Treat Company, which we love and is an all-natural product that they specialize in jerkies and beef bites out of California. But they have something called Gold Dust, and it's actually ground fine powder of beef jerky that you can use as a topper on your food. We have a lot of people come in, and when their dogs don't want to eat, they say, hey, should I add a spoonful of canned food? Should I, you know, add something to the food? You know, and that's fine. But for people that just don't want to start that canned food train in fear that their dog may not want to eat kibble like mine do, this is a great alternative. And then, of course, for number three, we're huge Lupine retail. Lupine collar and leads, we've always loved. They have a chew guarantee on them, lifetime warranty. If your dog chews through it, any damage happens. I don't need tags. I don't need receipts. I just need the chewed product. They have a new Echo line, so it's solid colors. It's actually made out of recyclable pop bottles. It's a great line. It's a beautiful line. We're excited. We're going to bring that in and have that probably on our wall next week. And then fourth, we have the Zook's Treats, which are always very popular. They came out with a new beef jerky, human grade. It's literally beef, apple cider vinegar, a little celery powder, a little paprika in there. I'm not one to test new treats. Usually Doug eats the snack and gives it a try.
What?
That's right. You heard it, Bill.
Not Annie?
Not Annie. I mean, Annie will try it too, but Doug will join her for a snack. And...
ladies and gentlemen, that's breaking news.
Breaking news. I mean, if it's good enough for Annie and good enough for us, I mean, it's got to be good for all the cats and dogs in town. But this jerky it smelled so good. I tried it myself, and it was incredible. It's probably better than the stuff I buy at the gas station on my way to work. So it's been taking off. It's one of Annie's favorites. She almost does somersaults for it. So it's just kind of exciting. You know, we always have tons of treats in our store. Sometimes so many, we don't even know where to put them. But this is just a great one. You know, and for people that don't like a lot of ingredients or just like a treat that's just real simple or just basically like a meat protein, the Zook's jerky is going to be soft and it's going to give you that. Just a nice meat treat.
Hunting. Let's go back to hunting and let's talk a little bit about transporting your hunting dogs and also what you should feed them and how much water they should have.
Right. You know, biggest thing with transporting is enclosed kennel. Wire kennels just are not safe. You know, I don't recommend you throw one in the back of your truck and take off. If you got in an accident, if anything happened, if, you know, whether it's your fault or someone else's fault, there is no protection for that animal. An enclosed plastic kennel is going to be safer for them. And if there's any impact with the vehicle, they're just going to have a lot more protection. You know, another thing, water, they should be offered regularly as they're out walking. You know, I know a lot of times, you know, people think, well, it's not as hot out or, you know, it gets cooler in the fall. But they're still out working, walking, and doing a lot of rigorous activity. So they do need to be hydrated at all times. Dehydration can, you know, come to a form later on in your evening or whenever. It can, you know, make the dog severely sick. It can cause constipation. So it's super important to just always offer it. Whether they want to lap it or they don't, they still need it offered. And if you're going to be out substantial amounts of time, it's good to carry like, you know, like the energy bar or a nice high protein treat that's just going to keep them fueled. You don't want to run them and work them so hard that at the end of the journey, they're just exhausted or, you know, they've just taken on too much and they're just overexerted. You really want to offer them nutrition and water throughout your whole hunting time. Whether you're out for an hour, whether you're out for five, they really still need to be taken care of.
Tougher on dogs, winter or summer?
Oh, that's kind of a hard one.
Well, let's see if the two of you agree.
I kind of feel like they're almost equally. I mean, heat is so hard on an animal, you know, but cold weather and salt and elements and freezing temperatures and ice and snow are so hard on them as well. So, I mean, I'm equal. I don't know how Diane feels.
I agree. Especially, you know, heat and some of the older dogs, some of our senior dachshunds, we've got a couple that are, gosh, Boss's 14, 15 years old, and him walking in the heat, it takes a lot out of him very quickly. Whereas the younger dogs can run around and chase rabbits and, you know, have fun and play. But the older dogs, it seems like the heat and humidity take a lot out of them. But on the same note, winter, as Stacy said, you know, big dogs don't seem to get that foot freeze as quick as small dogs do. There's a lot of times letting my dogs out in the frigid temps. I can't even think to let the dachshunds out without me being out there. For one thing, they'll just stand by the door and wait for me to come walk to the tree with them to go potty. Anyway,
Who have they trained there?
Well, I know. It's awful. But they'll go, some of them that see the rabbits beyond our fencing and chase back there to get them, and then all of a sudden they're doing the hold the foot up going, oh my goodness, my feet are so frozen I can't walk back. So I have had to go rescue a few of them out of the snowbanks a couple times.
We mentioned earlier allergies and diabetes. Not something that we mention very often, but, you know, they are mammals as well as humans. And we're starting to discover that we do need to take care of them. And their allergies could be peanuts, could be most anything else that you have out there. How do you take the best care of them and not have to spend the farm to do it?
Right. You know, allergies, a lot of people will think, well, you know, hey, you know, my dog's not had this problem. He's 3 years old. But the important thing to remember is allergies can develop at any time. You know, also more and more studies when you read them, you know, are coming to the fact that if you feed the same meat protein consecutively and you don't switch it up, a dog can develop an allergy or sensitivity to it. And I think that's why rotating meat proteins is really becoming something more and more popular for pet owners. And we have a lot of people that come in and ask about it. And it is a good idea to do. You know, one thing with allergies, a lot of people, the testing can be expensive. And it is a long process of elimination through food and diet. However, if you have a dog that's doing a lot of itching, you know, hair pulling, hot spots, you know, you got the goopy yeast in the ears, you got the runny eyes, and you're feeding a product that has any corn, wheat, or soy, the first thing we like to see you do is just eliminate that. And it doesn't cost the farm to do that. We have great foods that just take those problematic ingredients out and are still probably a better price point than some of your not so nice foods. You know, if the problem still continues, sometimes just alleviating that grain altogether, we end up with a lot more luck. And sometimes it can be just as simple as adding a nice rich fish oil or a pre or probiotic to their food if you're already on a good food.
One of the points that I always circle with you is if you're changing the diet, may take 8 to 12 weeks, you've got to be patient.
You really do. A lot of people, you know, get frustrated. They take it home. You know, they come back in 2 weeks. Hey, you know, nothing's happening. It can take 6 to 12 weeks for a new food to actually respond to your dog. And in that time, you could notice some stomach upset. You could notice some different change in stools. And that's all going to be normal. You know, if 2 weeks your stools have gotten worse, you know, then I would say, hey, maybe we need to try a different route. But there are going to be symptoms that are going to continue or become new as you're doing that transition. And, you know, another very important thing is when you're changing a diet, you're taking out those problematic ingredients or you're going to a complete grain-free is, you know, please, please watch your treats. You can't be on a grain-free diet and then feeding Fido milk bones, you know, we're going in reverse there. And even though people say, hey, he only eats 2 a day. Well, if he has a sensitivity or an allergy to that corn or that wheat, that one milk bone is enough to go ahead and start a little bit of a symptom reaction there. So all natural treats or just a nice corn, wheat, soy free treat, you know, to accommodate that new diet is super important.
She's Stacy with your Pet Stop, 221-2738 or your petstopinc.com. And geographically, you are?
We are at 501 East 41st Street.
And Diane, you don't have a geographical you are.
Exactly.
You have a website.
And that is DakotaDachshundRescue.org. Or you can just Google Dakota Dachshund Rescue and you will find us.
And your event for those joining us tomorrow night is?
Bark in the Park at the Canaries game. Canaries are playing Sioux City, so it should be fun. Local rivalry, and we'll be out in the entryway with lots of dogs to meet.
And don't feed them nachos?
No.
Feed them what?
Feed them dog-appropriate treats, like Charlie Bears. We'll bring some Charlie Bears along. I'll probably stop by your Pet Stop and pick up a few of the new things that they have. And like Stacy said, the importance of a good food is just as important as a good treat. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to feed them a great diet and then give them junk food.
And from the lady who says she's German, you have a German day coming up in September.
We do, German Fest. It'll be a lot of fun. It's start out in the morning down at the Sioux Falls Sidewalk Arts Festival and then come on over to German Fest. We're in West Falls Park. Sister Cities has a lot of great events going on. For the kids, there's lots of good German food, German drink, German music, and then the dachshunds to meet. And the doxy races start right around, I think we start registration about 2, and the races themselves start between 4 and 4:30.
She's Diane from Dakota Dachshund. And Stacy, your pet stop. We'll be back, final segment, talking about your pets, your pet stop, all a part of our visit. Stacy from your pet stop, 221-2738, or yourpetstopinc.com. And Diane from Dakota Dachshund in our studios today. There is a myth that we should mention this time of year, and that is the big ice water chill.
Yeah. You know, that was going around, and I know still some people, you know, are fearful of chilled water, ice water. My dogs only do drink chilled water, but one thing to remember is, you know, one of the main reasons for a dog's stomach to bloat is usually that they're eating or drinking too fast. And in that case, most likely you're going to see that liquid or food come back up. If you're feeding chilled water and that were to happen, I wouldn't think that you should be fearful that the water was chilled. You know, if your dog's overheated, it can be a shock to his system. So if you have a dog, like say, you know, you're hunting, it's a warm September day or a warm October day, you know, I wouldn't recommend that you sit down with a big icy cold bowl of water and let them lap it all up at that point. But to offer an ice cube for them to just lap on, it's going to help hydrate that dog, and it's going to help them cool down a little without binge drinking that water. You know, it can be beneficial. If you do have a binge drinking water and you put a few ice cubes in there, sometimes that will slow the dog down actually from drinking because, you know, it's kind of a distraction to them, or they're kind of interested in what's going on. You know, and another important thing is, you know, if your dog is ill or has been vomiting a lot, you know, you can withhold food, and sometimes that is recommended while the stomach settles, but you absolutely can never withhold water from your pet. So putting a bowl of water in your freezer, letting it freeze and then setting it out, and as it melts, they have that little bit of water to intake, so they're not intaking so much water, is going to actually help them out to not, you know, get their stomach so full that they're going to be vomiting that water. So there's a lot of benefits to the ice and a lot of benefits to the chilled water. And, you know, you don't need to be fearful of it if you use it properly and, you know, offer it to your pet when it needs to be offered.
2014 will go down as the year of the charitable ice water dump. I presume that would right. not be good with a dachshund or cat or dog of any kind,
gosh.
Correct?
Right. Please don't take a big bucket of ice water and dump it on your pet and make them part of a challenge. Please don't.
The money that you would get for charity, you might have to pay in another way.
Exactly.
All right, let's go back to your deals of the month. We mentioned that in the first half hour. Let's give you a chance again, Stace.
I have the 10% off all the From foods. I have 10% off all my toys, and that includes any toy in the store. $5 off my Red Barn Bully Ring 3-pack. So if your dog likes the bully sticks, this is a great deal. 25% off the world's best lavender scented cat litter. And I have 20% off the Charlie Bear treats that Diane was talking about that are, you know, the low calorie, good treat. So if you're planning on a bark at the park and you're going to go meet and you want to stop by and get some of these fabulous Charlie Bears that these little doxies love, they're on sale.
Don't you think that the canaries ought to let you just bark them through the stands tomorrow night during the game? I think that's a perfect thing. Jimmy Olander, listen out there.
He does actually let us walk some of the dogs through so people can meet them and so on. We'll do a little, I think we're going to do the first pitch, so I usually always take one of the dogs out on the field with me and hope that they don't get away because many of these dachshunds love to play ball. Absolutely.
Really?
Adore. Yeah, so go to your pet stop and buy them some balls and bring them on out and donate them to a dachshund that you fall in love with. But even the Charlie Bear treats, if you want to stop by the store and bring some out to the game and donate them to the dachshunds, we send the dachshunds. When we adopt them out, we send them with a blanket of their own. We send toys. We send treats. We send samples of the food and let them know that they can go to your pet stop and get a big bag of whichever food we're feeding that particular dog. But no, tomorrow night will be a lot of fun. We'll have a lot of great dogs out there to meet.
How many dogs do you expect?
I'm thinking, you know, As far as people bringing their pets, if it's a nice night, the stands are usually full of every breed you can think of. Huge dogs, little dogs, snippy little purse dogs. That's not a dachshund. Dachshunds don't go in purses. But but we will probably have, depending on how many fosters, homes themselves can actually come out to the game and volunteers, because we just do so many foster dogs per volunteer that's out there. So I would think we'd have at least 12 to 15 dogs out there for people to meet tomorrow night.
Not bad. And yeah. The dogs sit where? Is there a dog section?
You know, I think they usually, that I'm not sure. A lot of people like to sit over in the grassy berm area so that they can walk the dogs and stuff. Yeah. Others take them into the stands. That's one thing I didn't ask Jimmy O, because we're out in the front entryway with the dogs and the X-Pens and our little table of information set up and so on, so that people, we're not distracting people from the actual baseball game. But we do. We
I
do
think even through. Jimmy, you'd say distract us this year.
Yeah.
You know, but baseball is about being out with your favorite family member, your dog, your cat, whatever it might be. It's an opportunity to be out and share.
Exactly. So
when we talk about all these activities, it kind of reminds me that we need to do a little full disclosure with you guys about your pets, what you have for pets, what you've been able to do with them, any allergies, anything that you've found, something that our audience would find, gee, these people are real. Stacy?
Well, you know, I have three terrible naughty shih tzus. Two are seniors and one is a young rescue. And, you know, they're probably the pickiest of the pickiest of eaters. And they test me on a daily. But basically, I do a lot of baking of squash in the fall, and I put it in ice cube trays and freeze it, and I give it to them as treats, and they love it. And, you know, we just have our own little quirks in and out. They like to eat frozen carrots, frozen blueberries, and so they probably eat more fruits and veggies, human food, fruit and veggies, than they do dog food. And especially in the fall. So, you know, otherwise, mine are so naughty, they aren't allowed to go out in public.
So they will not be going to the game tomorrow.
Oh, no. Sometimes when I take them to, like, the vet, back in the day when I first got them, I used to always tell the vet they were my brother's dogs. They were so embarrassing. I feel like I just take them to the vet for my brother. And then after a couple of years, the vet distinguished they were mine, and I was just a very bad dog mom. Because
I would not expect that from somebody from your pet style.
Oh, I'm whipped. And
Annie,
they win.
Can't help you with some advice?
You know, no. I'm a bad influence on Annie, too. My bad shih tzu parenting skills do sometimes come out with Miss Annie. I do have girls' lunch with her occasionally, and, you know, we break all the rules, even though we shouldn't. So we're not perfect.
Well, we won't tell anybody. What rules do you break?
Well, when I order Jimmy John's, I do order her a side of bacon. And she knows when it's Jimmy John Day. And I never let her down.
Cute.
Okay, Diane, do you have any true confessions for us about your pets?
Actually, I have three little dachshunds of my own. We had four. We just recently lost Joey, our oldest. He was actually my first dachshund that I had adopted from the Humane Society. It was the Dimmock Rescue years and years ago. But so I have my three girls left, and I don't feed them people food.
Has it always been that way? Or
was there a
time you drew the line and went the right way?
Oh, yeah. There was a time that before I got into dachshunds, when I still had my lab, I was a bad pet owner. I didn't realize some of the things that were really bad for them until he got pancreatitis from giving him the ham bone at Christmas time. I didn't realize how bad that was for him until the vet told me that I just caused all of my vet bills myself. But I'm pretty good with the dachshunds as far as treats and so on. If I bring in a really obese dachshund into the rescue, what I give for treats then is usually canned green beans, or if you open a can of sliced carrots, they eat them like candy.
Yes.
Like Stacy said, squash, anything that has that sweeter taste to it, mm-hmm. that's a vegetable, I don't hesitate to give that to them. Even to get some of the dogs to eat, I'll put green beans or the carrots on top of the kibble. So, but that's as bad as I get, just because I have had dogs, believe it or not, for all the things that dogs eat, grass, baby birds, dead stuff they find in the yard, if you give them table scraps, I've got one little girl that gets colitis instantly. And she used to have to be on low residue food, and now that I've discovered some of the foods at your pet stop, the grain freeze, the limited ingredient ones, she hasn't had colitis for years, and I've not had to change foods for her, and it's cut way back on her vet bill. So I learned very quickly with some of them that you have to be really picky about what you let go in.
And at your pet stop, you don't treat animals. You feed animals.
Right.
And there's a difference.
There is.
So if somebody called and said they were having trouble, you could refer them to a vet.
Absolutely. We never hesitate to refer them to a vet. We get, you know, we've even had calls in the years that I've been down there, you know, someone that needs to do a surrender. And usually I contact DDR first, the Dakota Dachshund Rescue first, because they're so open to help out at any cost. And, yeah, we'll find you a number, we'll find you a name, and we'll help you any way that we can. But we're not vets, and we don't claim to be. You know, we do specialize in nutrition, and we're always here to help you with that.
Annie, we've mentioned Annie, the dog that you like to spoil
yes.
and have led astray.
Yes.
Who is Annie?
Annie is a rescue as well. She is our store Pekingese. She is our taste tester. She is our security. She is my lady lunch date once a week. And she's Annie. I mean, we usually have people come in just to say hi to her.
She greets you if she's there. She greets you when you come in the door.
Well-trained, just like you are, Stacy.
Absolutely.
All right. Contact information again for the Dakota Dachshund. Diane?
That would be DakotaDachshundRescue.org, or you can email us at DakotaDachshund@hotmail.com, or my home phone is 605-332-5774. I do work a full-time job outside of the rescue, so you can always call and leave a message.
Stacy, we're down to our last 30 seconds.
Yep, your pet stop. We're at 501 East 41st Street, yourpetstopinc.com, or you can give us a call, 221-2738.
Whether it's a hunting dog, a dachshund, a cat, whatever it is, your pet stop, a great place to go. You get a dachshund tomorrow night, might be a good night for the ball game.
Right.
Bark in the Park. We appreciate you joining us. Our time's up. Thank you for yours.